I want us to look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and we'll read verses 27 to 30. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 30. There are many instances in this chapter of the Lord Jesus Christ healing, showing his power to heal. There was this girl, this woman, who died, or nearly dying, and various others. But I want us to look at these two men, these two blind men. Let's read from Matthew chapter 9, from verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. And that those words in verse 29 are the reason I want us to look at these several verses and at these two blind men. Because here we have the topic of faith, the most important subject, one of the most important subjects we can ever consider. And Jesus said to them, when he touched their eyes, he said, "According to your faith, let it be to you." In other words, it's faith that really matters. Faith controls everything. All the issues here come down to your faith. It's faith you need to have. It's faith that you need to consider. What is faith? Pilate, we're told, asked what is truth. We must ask what is faith. There are many strange ideas about what faith is. Wasn't it a boy, a schoolboy? Perhaps it was a schoolgirl, I'm not sure, who asked, when asked what faith was, she said it means believing what isn't true. I think there are a lot of people who think that about Christian faith. Well, we know it isn't true, but they believe it. It isn't that. For many who have got faith and are going through a difficult time, they come to us, they say, "Oh, you know, I couldn't cope without my faith." And if you ask them what is their faith, well, it usually turns out to be something like believing that everything will turn out for the best in the end. Is that your faith? Hoping for the best, believing everything will turn out all right. The word translated faith could also be belief. To have faith is to believe. It's the same word. And both are used, I think, in this passage. What is faith? Definitions are rather difficult. There's one that looks like a definition in Hebrews chapter 11, but it isn't really a definition. So I'm not going to deal in definitions. What we're going to look at is faith in action. These two men, according to our Lord, had faith. It's better, it's easier to look at their experience and their character and to say that is faith. So what is faith? Faith in these two men is based on knowledge. That's the first stage in knowing about faith. It begins with knowledge. That's the traditional, classic idea of faith, is that it begins, much more than knowledge, of course, it begins with knowledge. The blind men knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't having faith in a vacuum. It wasn't blind faith. It was faith based on knowledge. And Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And that contains two significant ideas. First, they knew he was the son of David. Not interested in his genealogy at that point, but they, with other Israelites, knew that the son of David had been promised. God had promised that a descendant of David would come, that he would be the Messiah. He would come and be the Savior. He would come and set up his kingdom, God's kingdom. They know that this one, this Jesus, is the son of David. He's not just a man. He's not just an ordinary man. He's the son of David. He's one to whom they can come and they can plead with him. They can ask him for something wonderful. And he is the one who can give the answer. He's the son of David. And what can he give? He can give mercy. Son of David, have mercy on us. What are they thinking of? Well, they obviously knew what he'd been doing. In verse 26, we're told that after the healing of this girl, the report of this went out into all that land. They knew what he'd been doing. He'd been healing people. It healed other blind men. It healed the paralyzed people. He even raised the dead. They knew what he could do. They knew what he had done. Showing mercy by healing. They knew who he was. They knew what he could do. Faith depends on knowledge. Now, it's interesting to note that they couldn't see. They hadn't seen what he'd done. Seeing is believing, but these men believed without seeing, so that they might see. But they couldn't see at the time. They were blind. What does that tell us? Well, how did they know then? They couldn't see what he'd been doing. They couldn't see the effects of his ministry. How did they know? Obviously, they had heard. They'd heard the reports. The report of this went out into all the land. And if you perhaps are one of the people who says, well, I've never seen Jesus, and if I could, well, that would be different. We're 2,000 years later. How can I believe about Jesus when I can't see him? There were those who, in his time, who had difficulties in this. There was the man called Thomas, known as Doubting Thomas. And after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he appeared to his disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. Thomas was there a week later, and he insisted that he had to see Jesus risen in order to believe. And in the comment on that, Jesus said it was good. Now he could see and he did believe. And he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You can know the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ without seeing him. These men knew without seeing him, knew who he was, knew that he could save, he could give them their sight. Faith, we're told by the Apostle Paul, comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. We this evening can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know about him. We can have faith and know him without seeing him. They did see something. What did they know? They didn't only know that he was the son of David and that he had healed people. They knew, you may say this was very obvious, but they knew they couldn't see. So very important to know that you can't see. To know your need, to see your need. It's interesting, we use these words, we use the word about sight and so on, in this metaphorical sense. They could see that they couldn't see. They could see they were blind. They saw their need of mercy, and they could see that Christ could give this. Faith is based on knowledge, knowledge by the Word of God, knowledge that we are lost, knowledge that we are bound for death. You say, well, it doesn't say anything about death here. It doesn't actually, but it's implied. When we're told that according to your faith, let it be to you, they were to be healed. The previous incident, this lady, this woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years, came to herself. She said to herself, this is in verse 21, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Now the word for made well there, or made whole, as it often is translated, is the same word as saved. I shall be saved. You see, if you're ill, you're on your way to dying. That's the whole idea. It's a beginning of death. And so to be healed is to be saved from death. In some translations, it said saved. You believe and you're saved. That's what we need. That's the knowledge we need, that we are spiritually ill, that we're spiritually dying, that we are spiritually dead, and that we need to be saved. Faith begins from this knowledge. Faith is based on knowledge. Knowledge of our need, knowledge of our situation, knowledge of the possible Saviour, knowledge of what He can do. And if you're not a Christian tonight, that's where you've got to start. It's where you have to start considering, what is my need? Can I deal with my life? Can I deal with death? Where do I stand before God? Do you see your need? Do you know about Jesus Christ? I don't know why you're here. If you're not a Christian, I don't know why you've come. I'm very pleased you have, but I don't know why. You may have been invited. You may have come out of curiosity. But you need to know certain things if you're going to have faith. You need to know your need, your desperate need, to know that death, according to the scriptures, is not just physical death, it's spiritual death. And it's not just one death, it's a second death, which consists of being separated from God forever. I would like to revise that statement. Many people say, well, this is what hell is. It's separation from God. And they're right in a sense. But I suspect that that idea of hell as separation from God comes from people who are rather reluctant to say that hell is eternal punishment by God. Because there are those who say, separate from God, I'd be delighted to be separated from God forever. Don't want anything to do with God. It isn't like that. It won't be a pleasant thing to be separated forever from God. Separated from forever from what is good and what is pleasant, what is kind and gracious. To be separated from love and from hope. That is our situation. Without Christ, we are destined to be without God forever. And to be without God is to be without hope in this world. And faith is based on that knowledge. Unless you've got that knowledge and come to terms with that knowledge, you can't have faith. Faith starts from that knowledge, the knowledge of our need, and knowledge of the Saviour who came into this world to save sinners from that eternal death. Faith is based on knowledge. Faith, secondly, is based on believing that the good news of Jesus Christ is true. faith believes that the gospel is true. Jesus checked up on them. When he came to them, they came to him rather. Two men followed him crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." When he'd come into the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." He's checking that they believed what they needed to believe. And he's checking that they knew it was true. Did they believe he could do what they needed him to do? Heal them. Save them. We have to be very careful about these words, believe in. Believe in. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believing in can merely mean believing about. Believing that something is true. Believing that is not the same as believing in. For instance, believing in might merely mean believing that God exists. You remember James in his letter tells us there are many people who believe that God exists and they tremble. The devils, the demons believe in that sense. That's not having faith. It's a believing that something is true. Believing that God exists. You can believe in the resurrection like that. There are lots of people who on Easter Day will sing hymns about the resurrection. They're not Christians. They believe that the resurrection really happened, but nothing more. It's believing that. You can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You can believe the biblical gospel is true, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't save your soul. Too often people are told what you've got to believe is that Jesus died for you. That's not the same as having faith in Christ. You can believe that Jesus died for you and go to hell. Because it's just believing that. Now faith is much more than that. It is that, it includes that, but it's much more. It's what used to be called mere ascent, not climbing up something, A-S-A-S-S-E-N-T, not A-S-C. Ascent. Do you assent to this? Do you agree with it? Might be that your family's always gone to church and you assent to these things. You've always assented to them. Now, that's good, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough just to believe that certain things are true. You can be a Roman Catholic, and many other kinds as well, and just believe what the priest says or what the church says. You assent to it. The great evangelist George Whitefield had an acquaintance, and he claimed to have faith, he claimed to believe. Oh, says George Whitefield to him, "What do you believe?" "Oh," he said, "I believe what the church believes." Whitefield wasn't satisfied with that, so he said, "Well, what does the church believe?" "Oh, the church believes what I believe. We believe the same thing." He didn't know. He's just assenting to what was that. Well, that's the Orthodox faith. That's the Orthodox teaching. Just believing what the church said. That's very one way of coming to faith. Might be that you believe what the church says, but it's rather dangerous to rest on that. When I was a student many years ago, we had a wonderful lecturer. This was in the English department. And Mrs. Novotny, she was British but married to a Polish man. Mrs. Novotny was absolutely brilliant. She lectured brilliant. Everybody came to her lectures, whether you were taking that course or not. And she, I think mainly they were studying English, but they weren't necessarily doing the particular course that she was lecturing in. The place was packed out. Couldn't get a seat there. And she actually did this course on a particular subject in Shakespeare. And when she'd finished the lectures, the whole place broke out in applause. We didn't usually applaud the lecturer, not in that course. Now, brilliant lecturer she was. One of our Christian Union members went to a dinner with her, departmental dinner, I suppose, and he was chatting to her. And being a good Christian Union member, he tried to witness to her. So he began to ask her about her own beliefs. Did she believe this or did she believe that? He said, oh no, she said, I leave that all that to the priest. Here was a woman with the most brilliant mind, and she left it all to the priest. Do you leave it all to the minister? Or do you know it for yourself? Do you know the truth? Do you believe the truth for yourself? Not enough, but that's the first, or the second thing. You need to know your need. You need to believe the truth. There is a faith which isn't saving faith. We find that when in Jesus' ministry, people believed in him. They put their trust in him, we're told. Read in John chapter 2 of people who put their trust in him, believed in him. But then Jesus didn't accept them, we're told. And later in John's Gospel, we're told in chapter 8 of some who believed in him, they put their trust in him, but then they tried to stone him. Was that real faith? No. You can have a temporary faith, a miracle faith. It's not enough. It's a start, though. So first, belief must be based on knowledge. Secondly, faith believes that the gospel is true. Do you do that? It's a good second step. If you believe it's true, it's important, it's vital. Believe that the gospel is true. Believe that the word of God is true, yes, but specifically the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he's the Savior, he came into the world to save sinners, and that you're a sinner. Believing that it is true. You may say, well, what more is there? What can there be more than believing that Jesus died on the cross for me? Well, the third thing is that real faith trusts Christ for salvation. To put your trust in him is more than to believe about him. To believe in him is more than believing that anything. It's to trust him personally, to put your trust in him. How do I know that these men had this personal faith? Well, because they asked him to cure them. Son of David, have mercy on us. They're putting their trust in him. They're calling upon him. They're asking him to show pity, to have mercy, to give them sight. The girl that previously talked about said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And Jesus turned, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. How did he know she had faith? Because she touched him. She put out a hand, laid hold of him, said, I want you to be my Savior. I want you. I'm giving myself to you. I'm believing not just about you, not just that this is true or that is true, but I'm trusting you. Real faith is trust. It starts with knowledge, goes on to this assent, this believing that, and then there is trust. Have you trusted Christ for yourself? Have you prayed to Him and asked Him to be your Savior? Have you called upon Him by name? Have you trusted Him? Is He yours, your Savior, your Lord? This gospel of grace, do you have faith in it? Have you trusted it? There's a lot of difference between believing about something and trusting. Various illustrations have been used in the history of the church. Evangelists have their own favorite illustration. Some people use a chair. You believe this chair. You believe about it. You believe it will bear your weight. And they say, yeah, well, no, I've got faith in that chair. Well, that's not really faith. It's just a sort of scientific probability. It's likely, isn't it, that the chair would bear their weight. That's not. And some people use the same with a bridge. When you put your weight upon the bridge, well, you can look at it, you can test it. It's not really the same. The real test is, the real illustration is that of the doctor. Back in verse 12, we read, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So he's saying he is a physician. Now that's more, because there's something personal about this relationship with the physician, isn't there? You know about him, you know, you see his degrees, you know that he's got a whatever it is from this or that hospital. You know about him, but you know him. And you, how do you put your trust in him? Well, you go to him, you ask him to tell him your symptoms, he looks at you, takes your temperature and all the rest of it. But it's more than that, isn't it? You trust him. You put yourself in his hands to save you. Now that is faith. That is trust. When you put yourself in his hands and give yourselves to him. Have you done that with Christ? He said, I need you. I need your salvation. I need to know your power in my life. I need to know you forgiving me. And I want it. I give myself to you. We used to talk about committing ourselves to Christ, but the word commit has been devalued, I'm afraid. Nowadays we're told that gay marriage is all right because two people are committed to each other. Well, it's a funny sort of commitment, but the word's perfectly all right, except that it's got devalued. Trusting him, that's the word, to trust Christ. We were looking this morning, those of us who are here, Dr. Davis took us to the book of Proverbs, where we're in chapter 3, verse 6, where we were told to trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's it. Trusting the Lord. How do you know whether you're trusting the Lord with all your heart? Because you're not trusting anything else. Trusting with all your heart means there's no heart left to trust something else. So if you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, you're not putting your trust in anything else. Not putting your trust in your baptism or your church going or your good works. Trusting the Lord with all your heart. That's what these two men did. They trusted. They had faith. And we know they had faith because they came to him and asked him. You show your faith in your doctor by taking his pills, by submitting to a surgeon to be operated on. You trust then, you committed yourself to it. You see, I'm using that word. It's a perfectly good word. It's just being misused. Real faith trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. And it continues. It's not a momentary thing. These two blind men, they came to Jesus. They said, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And he didn't. He went away. He went into the house. The blind men came to him in the house. They persevered. Because real faith perseveres. It lasts. It continues. Real faith knows its need, knows the Lord Jesus Christ, and knows he can do all that they need, that he can save them because he's died for them, that he can save them continuously because he's risen again. He can save them because he is who he is. Trust him. You start with your need. You go on to believe the facts, the truth. Just check yourself if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian of long standing, just check, please, that you're not just a believing that sort of person. You must be a believing in Christ. According to your faith, let it be to you. Your faith, or lack of it, will decide your future. You may be on the brink of life, if you're a young person. You may be on the brink of eternity, if you're an older person. The question is, what's going to control your destiny? It's the presence of faith. The faith that knows your need, the faith that knows Jesus Christ, knows about him, and knows what he has done, and a faith that has committed you for now and for eternity, not to anything else, but to him and to him alone. Real faith trusts the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. And then you give yourself to him forever. Have you got that faith? According to your faith, it will be to you. Let's sing a hymn.